Hello,
Kelly. This is Mara calling again.
How are you?
Maybe we can start again with the introduction, if you don't mind. How did you learn that you were half Latvian?
I probably started to realize and it around my mid-teens, so 12 to 15, I started to hear whispers of stories of my grandmother and her original husband, Voldemars, and also when my grandfather, who met my grandmother later in New Zealand, he was from that sphere as well, Alexandrus Karklinge, when he was passing away, he was saying some strange stories to me and our family about wearing a German uniform and his time in different countries. So it was a very unusual experience, but it was quite special, and it made me very curious to find out more. And I eventually would go and investigate, I suppose, more about where Latvia was and what Latvia was in the culture and the history. So I had an unusual experience of having to read and learn about Latvia and what that meant until I moved to Australia, and then would eventually meet some more Latvians who would share their experiences and stories about their families. And because I'd studied some acting and was moving into filmmaking, I thought that the story of my grandmother Malia and her losing her first love Voldemars was a special story, and I wanted to tell it for myself, and I wanted to share it with people.
Can you tell me more about what happened to your grandmother, Milia?
Yes, of course. As I understand it, and from the history I've checked and the diary notes I've read, Milia would have been around 26 in 1940. And Voldemars was in the Latvian army before the Soviet Union came in. And when the Soviet army came in, he was forced into the ranks of the Red Army and kept in his Latvian uniform. And while on some brief leave in 1940, after seeing some obviously disturbing things as a young man, he met Maria at a dance. And they fell in love. And while all these terrible things were happening in Latvia and the Baltics, this confusing time, they got married. And sort of during 1941, when Germany, of course, came through, he was in the Abrin area. And he escaped into the forest and then was put into a POW camp in Lithuania, in Stalag 336. So at this time, Milia was pregnant and with his child, and he hadn't seen his son yet. But he was, I suppose, he was pushed into the German uniform, as was common, as I understand. And so he really fought in a few different armies. While all this is happening, he's trying to have a relationship with my grandmother, and until eventually in 1945, he would disappear into the Korzeny area. Mm-hmm. And my lovely grandmother basically had to escape at that time, and she caught a train out of Latvia and waited in a displaced person's camp in Germany for 4 years for him, and he never came back. So she took Andris, their baby, and went to New Zealand and met my grandfather, who was from Latvia as well, Alexandrus. The end of the story is, and I'm happy to reveal, that they do get to meet 50 years later.
How did they learn about each other?
So there was a Latvian lady, which I cannot recall the name of right now, that in 1990 came to New Zealand looking for some other family members. And wanted to meet Malia, my grandmother, And my grandmother didn't want to meet her. She didn't want to think about the past, but she did. And my grandmother told her some people and wanted to know what had happened to Voldemars and how he died. This Latvian lady went back to Latvia, and it turns out that Voldemars was, of course, alive. And he thought that his family were killed. And he lived for nearly 50 years believing that. So Andris, the little baby now growing up, had not seen his father. So he took my grandmother, Malia, to Latvia and met Voldemars again for the first time in nearly 50 years. And have some photos, and the film is focused around that story.
This is one of those stories about which you usually say that this is something crazier than one could make a movie about, you know?
Yes.
You can't believe that things like that can happen in real life, but it actually happened to your family. Did you talk to your grandmother when she came back after she had met her lost husband after 50 years?
Well, I have a confession, and that is that I was, a typical teenager, doing my typical teenage things.
You didn't really care about it that time.
Thinking of myself. I was thinking of girls and how great a dancer I was going to be. And yeah, to be honest. And so I always had to regret that. But I saw Malia in the hospital after not seeing her for a long time. When she fell sick, and she passed away the following day, and I think part of me felt like I owed it to her to find out more and become more of a good grandson, hopefully.
I'm just wondering about what you said that you didn't know about your Latvian heritage until mid-teens. Didn't your grandparents talk Latvian to each other? Didn't they talk to their kids in Latvian?
Well, to add another part to the story, of course, she met my grandfather, Alexandris, when she came to New Zealand.
Right, and he was also Latvian.
Yes, he was. And I believe he was in the contingent of Latvian legionnaires that would have moved into Germany. Towards March 1945. So likelihood is that he surrendered to the American side and found his way to New Zealand. That's partly speculation, of course, until I find more. But she met my grandfather, and sadly, he suffered from quite a lot of mental illness after the war. And was quite a sad man. And at about 60, my grandmother had to leave him. It was quite sad, really. But it wasn't until my grandmother was 74 that she received that letter from Latvia, from Voldemars. So a beautiful circle in the story, I suppose, has happened. And no, the answer is that they never spoke Latvian in front of me. And my grandmother never spoke of the stories until later, and when I was a teenager. I think it was something to do with a fresh life, a fresh start, and forgetting things. And I think if there's anything in my family which I'm probably the opposite of, it's that sometimes they don't want to think about those things.
So once you realized that you wanted to find out more, what did you start with? Where did your research take you to?
Well, like most research, I suppose Wikipedia. speaking to Latvians that I met, they think what is interesting is the more I thought about it, the more Latvians I seem to meet. And this is an interesting thing.
You started to notice that Latvians are everywhere. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling. Yeah.
Great adventurers and survivors, so I suppose, yeah. Well, Andris, when he was older, and he found out and visited Voldemars with Malia, and they all met, he employed the services of a historical lawyer in New Zealand to research in creating a book and to come to Latvia with them and do interviews with everybody involved and get hold of Voldemar's diaries and translate those. And so, in fact, Ron Crosby wrote the book Andrus, Where Are You?, which is a book that was released in New Zealand in English. And so I had lots of research. And when I read the book, I think I felt so consumed. And at that stage, I was more interested in doing filmmaking as opposed to just acting. And I had to spend really 5 years learning how to become a filmmaker as well as do further research and how to write a script. There was many things to learn.
So this story was something that triggered you to actually pursue filmmaking career.
Oh, yes. The story, yeah. I didn't think of becoming a filmmaker. I've always had a great imagination. And as a kid, probably too much. And but now it's become useful. So, the story actually did push me to be a filmmaker.
So how has this all changed the way that you look at your family?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when you hear the stories of a family member and maybe they're a very angry person or abusive, or you see things you didn't like as a teenager, I suppose when I learned the history of my family, maybe I started to try to understand some of the struggles and the things that they had to learn in order to survive, and things that they passed on to me that I had to learn to work through too. So I think it gave me a great appreciation for how whole families can be affected by big events, I suppose. And I think it's moved me to really make films that challenge people's thinking about people's needs rather than just politics and history.
And this also probably led you to some discoveries about history and events that have happened before your lifetime but have very much affected your family. How did you change your attitude to history through your research?
Oh, that is such a good question. You know, in history in New Zealand, in our history class in school, we don't hear much about that part of the world, in Latvia and the Baltics and these areas. So when you read this history for the first time, it's very confronting. And you have to work through a lot of emotions. And I actually had to make a decision. Was I making a film for how I felt about some things that I judged? Or was I trying to celebrate my family's journey and survival? And I think this was the most challenging thing for me, is realizing that the story of people is what is the most important, and their path and their story and their journey. Yeah, it definitely opened my mind to seeing that history is not always so simple, which is a very, very confronting thing, but also helped me grow up, I think. And what happens is you go from reading these black and white words on a piece of paper or on a screen to having feelings that connect with that history and building a 3D world and a story and wondering how your grandparents felt or how those people felt in those times and how I wonder how that affected how they became to be who they were. And how could I honor them? How could I bless them with something special? I always remember my grandmother, Malia, saying how she felt like she was never special. And yet, to me, she was the most special woman in my life. And I suppose, yeah, it really brought it home. And I wanted to make the film honest and truthful rather than just some sort of flash fancy film about some war or something like that.
So this is, in a way, your tribute to your grandmother.
Yes, because she would have been upset with me if she knew I was going to make it. I think because she implied that people had far worse things happen and that didn't get to survive or went through far worse things than her. And I think she felt like, what would we say, survivor's remorse or survivor's guilt. And if she can hear me now, I don't know how that works. I hope she can see I've made a movie about her, so I hope she sees she's special now. I miss her. I miss her cooking. The biggest event for me when I was a kid going to her house was running to the kitchen, opening the cupboard and grabbing a big jar of pickles, pickled gherkins, and just shoving my hand in them. And she would just let me just eat the whole thing bit by bit. And she just, and it was just the best thing. And I've never found any made as good since.
Why did you decide to make a feature film rather than a documentary? This sounds like a story that would make a perfect documentary, but yet you have decided to use actors and to blend it with some documentary materials. Why did you choose this form?
Because I think so often documentaries can become like a history lesson. But I remember as a child looking at cinema. What I love about cinema or a good quality film is you can go on a journey. And if the director and the writer is honest about the material and the actor is honest and humble and the film is done with love, you can take someone or let an audience member go on their own journey to experience for themselves what they see, rather than just lots of facts and dates and times. But I think with the bigger feature film, rather than the short film, which we've submitted to Cannes now, the feature film is being written with much more detail that will reflect a lot more information, but also more from the perspective of the people experiencing it. And I think that will always be the lesson for me as a director, to learn how to do that better.
Who are your team and who are the actors that are in this movie, and who's the person behind the screen, the narrator, who speaks Latvian?
Yes, Maris J. Korns. He's quite a character. He lives in the southern part of Australia and he's a voice actor, but he's a very passionate Latvian man. And we actually recorded the film in English with Latvian accent and in Latvian language, but he tried to use his grandfather's very old Latvian accent in English. But it just, when he spoke Latvian, his emotion was much stronger, and so we decided to use that recording in Latvian, and I'm glad we did that. He's helped us a lot with history and also with translating. So this can be quite a challenge when I didn't grow up speaking any Latvian. But I will commit to learning Latvian. I don't have any doubt there. It will take me some time, though. Maybe when I come to Latvia.
Right. You still haven't been to Latvia. So do you have any plans to come and develop this idea about a feature film?
Yes, actually. So we are talking with a distributor in Latvia at the moment, and we can't say much about it, but they are interested in a feature film. And my passion would be to film in Latvia, film in New Zealand, and film in Australia, and make it a joint collaboration. So that's what we're working on slowly. I think it's very important to bring business to a country that you're bringing a film to. So I think it's good to promote the filmmakers. I think it's good to promote the actors. So I think we'd be very open to looking at various actors from different countries. In fact, Adrian Twigg, who plays Voldemars, is from an Estonian background. And Sophie Don is actually a Jewish background. So we had some really interesting cultural mixes already.
Well, great. It was fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending some time on the phone.
Oh, my pleasure. And it's a real honor to actually to talk about it to Latvians, actually. It's quite special. So thank you.